Last week we were reading from the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. And we heard there that Jesus had taken his disciples over to the other side of the lake, a movement that we've seen is pretty common already in the ministry of Jesus here in the northern part of Galilee, this movement across the lake. And he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, you'll remember, and then he began to teach them. And there in the Gospel of Mark, we then have this miracle, this mighty sign of Jesus doing this work of feeding the crowd. But we're not in the Gospel of Mark. So even though this year we read from the Gospel of Mark, for the next 5 weeks we jump from the Gospel of Mark and we hear this story from the perspective of the Gospel of John. And so we will be reading not from Mark 6, but from John 6 for these next 5 weeks. And because there is this unit of thought around the bread of life, and because the parish is preparing children at the moment for the reception of Holy Communion in a couple of months' time, I want to reflect on this whole section, these 5 weeks, under this banner of giving thanks, of reflecting on what it truly means to be a people who gather for the Eucharist, what that means, how it impacts upon our lives. First, it's about food, right? It's about eating. And so this first question is, well, obviously food is a pretty fundamental part of our lives, a central element in what it is to be a human community. Eating is a constant and central aspect of our lives. We may not necessarily agree with that statement that we've sometimes heard, that you are what you eat, but certainly the opposite is true. If we don't eat, we know the consequences, that we get hungry and eventually, of course, we starve. We're unable to go on. So food, right across the centuries, has often been this paramount question, whether it's a hunter and gathering community, and so the different people who are sent to gather the different parts of the food or the hunt for the animals that are necessary, or when society, after the agricultural revolution around the 12,000 years ago, and we began to grow crops and all that was necessary for that, for the harvesting of those crops and the preparation of that food, all of that became this central part of us. Because obviously, as humans, we don't just eat food. What do? We take time to prepare it, and most especially, we take time to cook the food. It's this characteristic thing. No other animal does that. No other animal takes time to get everything looking good, to prepare even a salad. You know, you make sure that it has the right combination of colors and ingredients. You set the table. You do all of these things, that none of which is essential, none of which is necessary, and yet it adds to this whole experience. And so the preparation of food materials into what is actually put into our mouths is one of the great bonds that holds societies together. As we've moved on in the 20th century and now into the 21st, of course, so much of that food preparation is done remotely. We get other people to do that, other factories, other societies, other groups. And so there is that sense of a little bit of disjunction between all of that preparation that is necessary as you just grab that prepackaged packet of food from the supermarket shelf and then chuck it in the microwave. And yet still all of that preparation has taken place. But one of the other curiosities is that so many of the staple foods of humans still today, right across the different spectrums of societies and cultures, so much of our food is inedible when it's first harvested. So wheat and rice and potatoes and legumes and barley and all those other crops that are essential for the basic sustenance of human life, none of them are able to be eaten as they are. You have to do that preparation. You have to prepare the food. You have to cook the food. All of those actions need to happen by someone else. And so whenever we eat, it is this fundamentally social thing, this way of connecting us into all the other communities, all the other people that happen around us. We're meal sharers at heart. You know, whenever we socialize, meals have to be there at the center of that activity. You know, when you go out with friends, almost inevitably, there's some kind of sharing of food or drink, you know, going down the pub for a pint, all of those activities, or meeting someone for a cup of coffee, all of these things are around the sharing of food. This is at the core of our lives, in our human development, around the table, sharing a meal. We affirm our nature, we build society, and we present to ourselves our whole vision of what it is to be human. And so this whole sense, you know, needs to punctuate. If we are to understand the Eucharist, then we need to understand what is at the heart of what it is to be human, what it is to be a community, a society, that this sharing of food is an essential part of that. And so when the question arises, and in the Gospel of John, it's Jesus himself who puts this question to the disciples. In the other three Gospels, and it's the only miracle story that is told all four of the Gospels, it's the disciples themselves who come to Jesus and say, "Well, Lord, send away the crowds. They're getting hungry, and we haven't got enough food to feed them, so send them off to the villages." But Jesus turns it around. Jesus asks the question of Philip, "Where can we buy bread for these people to eat?" Does Philip have a solution to this? No. All Philip can see is the problem. "Lord, we would need 200 denarii, 200 days of wages, or 8 months of wages, in order to be able to buy a little morsel, just a little scrap of food, enough, well, it's not enough, but even just to feed that much to this crowd. There are so many people here." So Philip so often represents the way of the church. All we see are the problems. All we see are the ways of not being able to do this. But it wasn't just Philip who was there on the hillside that day. Andrew, at least, is there to offer some kind of a solution. What does Andrew say? "Well, there is this little boy, and he happens to have 5 barley loaves. I mean, 5 barley loaves. You wouldn't go out of your way to eat a barley loaf. It was the food of the very poor. It was usually only fed to animals. And so it's a sign of just how poor this community is, that they have so little to go by. He's got these 5 loaves. He's got a couple of fish. What is Andrew, even though he's offering a solution so often as in our lives, Andrew then comes with a but. But what is that between so many? Even when we come up with solutions, there's always this but that seems to get in the road. You know, "We would do this, but we're too busy. We would be more generous. We would take care of the poor, but we haven't got enough for ourselves. We can't upgrade whatever system we have, and that has to be a priority before we take care of the poor or whatever." This need for us just to see the generosity of the Lord. But Jesus, thankfully, takes the butt of Andrew and is able to transform that into the goodness of the Father. And so what does he say? Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and then began to give them to all who were sitting ready. This ministry of Jesus in the Synoptic Gospels, it's the disciples who are tasked to go and to hand out the food. But in the Gospel of John, Jesus himself feeds us. Jesus himself takes care of us. Jesus himself is there to offer what we need. We hear these words, and hopefully, of course, we're reminded of what we do when we gather each Sunday for the Eucharist. And that word there that we translate as "gave thanks," what's that word in the Greek language? Eucharist, yes. Give thanks is this word, Eucharist. It's why we gather for Eucharist. But it's not just a thing that we do. It's not just something that happens up here that's disconnected from our ordinary lives. Unfortunately, before the council, we began to think of the Mass as just something that happened here. And often people would just watch it or hear Mass. You know, you go to certain countries today and people speak about, "Oh, Father, I didn't get to hear Mass last Sunday." this sense of it's just something that happens there but is not connected to what we're doing here. But no, Eucharist is a verb, it's an action, it's something that we do whenever we gather to give thanks. It's interesting, we've done lots of alphas now in the parish and we're preparing for another one to start in a couple of weeks' time. And there is no session during Alpha that looks at this question of the sacrament of the Eucharist. There is no session that focuses on that. And yet, Nikki Gumbel and the other leaders in Alpha tell us that whatever you do, whenever you gather for Alpha, make sure that you always have a meal. Make sure the meal is there at the center of the experience. Make sure there's good food to share. And in so many ways, that teaches the community that gathers for Alpha to be a Eucharistic community, because it's the ordinary way that we gather as a community is to gather around food, to be fed and nourished by the Lord. And Eucharist is not just something that happens when we gather for the Eucharist here in church. Eucharist happens whenever we gather for a meal, whenever we offer thanks in our hearts and in our lives, whenever we're so caught up in that whole sense of how profoundly grateful we are for the love that God has shared with us, that He has acted first when we were not worthy, when we had done nothing to deserve salvation, that Jesus had already begun to do this work in us. And so Jesus shows us the way. He tells us that Eucharist is about giving thanks, and the focus of the Eucharist is this whole activity of giving thanks to the Father. We thank Him for all His generosity in and through and with the Son. The great Amen that we conclude the Eucharistic prayer is that prayer that offers and reminds us this is what it's all about, is this offering of our hearts and lives to God in thanksgiving. But until we begin to see the Eucharist in our ordinary lives, until we begin to live as Eucharistic people in our generosity, in our offering of God, our worship to the Father, we can never really appreciate what this Eucharist is about, that it is this transformation of society. It's a wonderful thing that this weekend St. Vincent de Paul is having its winter appeal, because today it's a way of connecting ourselves. You know, if there are people who are hungry in our community, we're not truly a Eucharistic community. Until we have that profound sense of caring for the vulnerable, the poor, the orphan, the refugee, we're not a Eucharistic community. And it's being called by God to be truly grateful, to be truly thankful for the gifts that He so freely pours upon us, that we're able then to share that and we're able to be worthy of being a community that gathers to give thanks, that gathers to be the Eucharist, to share the Eucharist, and to be transformed by Jesus, who makes Himself vulnerable and present for us. And we'll continue to reflect on this mystery from different angles over these next weeks. But today, let's just be so grateful and thankful for the God who has given us so much, who gives us a community to share in, who allows us to be part of this act of giving thanks each day.